Hello and welcome to Parade of Dicks. We are here to rant about our latest dating adventures. Good sex, bad sucks. Bad sucks. That could actually be spoken about as well. And any asshole we've encountered, plus the occasional social issue. So tonight we have our trio in the house, home team crew, professional asshole, diva, and drag queen, Allegra Spread.
Hi.
And as usual, our co-producer, photographer, digital marketing assassin, and overall nice guy, John L.
Hello.
He wrote that for himself. Yeah, I'm just saying the nice guy part.
Yeah. And last but not least, as always, we have our host, professional burlesque performer and producer, international award-winning person as well, professional temptress, infamous Facebook snob. Please welcome your host, Miss Lucy Buttons.
You missed the general dick finder part.
And the sound effect. Fuck the whole thing up, John.
Okay. You know what?
Hey, no, keep it. We're keeping it. We're leaving it. That's how it's going to be.
Dick finder general.
You didn't salute. Okay, enough. Nobody wants to hear that shit. Get it right the first time. Fuck. Okay, so we are back airing from John L's bedroom. It's the only way for him to get us here, to get women here.
Hey, not gonna lie.
I'm going with it.
Not gonna lie.
And I'm not wearing pants.
You wouldn't even come. You're like, oh, are you guys doing it? Yeah, can't make it. I'm gonna just be at home with no pants on. So our topic today is first. Well, we want to talk about, okay, so one more dick disqualifier, right? So I'm gonna go with something real basic, smoking. I don't date smokers anymore. I've done it. And the reason why I don't want to do it again is because I thought, like, maybe it's okay. I used to smoke. It didn't bother me for years after. But I found that he would leave. Any smoker, you know, you're at a party, you're having a good time, a nice conversation, and then they duck out of the party to go have a cigarette. And certainly when I was a smoker, I felt like the party was outside doing that. But I just don't anymore. And when you're in a couple and you fuck and then the guy gets up and puts on pants and goes outside to have a cigarette, it kind of sucks. You're like, hey, huh. I thought we were having this moment. And then he leaves. So I won't date a cigarette smoker anymore. It would be one thing if he did the, what's that shit called?
The vape.
Vape might be okay. Pot doesn't bother me. Crack and meth are definite no's. Heroin's definite no. But I will not date a smoker. Thoughts, opinions, comments?
I agree. I think there's a bajillion health reasons why you yourself shouldn't be smoking or anybody else shouldn't
be smoking. You're assuming I want them to live, but
yeah, that's true too. But you know, I know you want to kill most people.
Yeah,
but yeah, I wouldn't prefer a smoker as well for the same reasons, but also just the overall scent.
Do you think her vagina would smell like cigarette smoke?
You know what? At that point, when I'm that close, I don't care what it smells anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to, pardon the pun, touch on that.
Yay. So, yeah, I agree. I'm an advocate of people not smoking, although occasionally I myself fall off the wagon, and when I get really stressed, I will smoke one or two. But I actively.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that about
you. Yeah, yeah. When it's been stressful at work, I pop a stick or two. When I'm at the neighborhood bar, more of a social and relaxation thing. But again, it's not something that I would want anybody else to be doing.
You're such a joiner.
Yeah, you know what? I have with friends like you, I need to replace them with nicer people too. So that's the reason
that's
why
fair.
I'll do whatever. But how about you, Allegra? Smoking?
I'm not a fan. I mean, I was doing the same thing when we were hanging out initially, John L. I would like have one or two cigarettes, and then it got to a point where I'd bought myself my own pack last summer, and I was like smoking in my fire escape when I was stressed, and it's disgusting, and it makes you feel like a trash bag. Like your body is a little bag of trash that's on fire, full of shit. And it's just like, it's not cute. And if you're making out with someone that like dry, ashy mouth, it's just not cute. It's just not tasty.
Yeah, yeah, but touching on that, making out with smokers, I have friends that like it. like the taste of smoke in somebody's
mouth. Lick an ashtray.
That's a thing too. But I've heard a bunch of friends say like, oh, this dude that I made out, he's a smoker. It feels like he's a little bit more manly. I don't consider that anything at all. I mean,
but sometimes
he's
I
a
like
little more cancerous.
Exactly.
I love the taste of cancer in your mouth. I mean, but the same could be said for alcohol. So John L is having a drink right now. I can smell it from here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I make out with someone who's been drinking and I like the smell of it. Reminds me of grandma.
Wait.
Weird.
I didn't make out with grandma.
Don't make out with your grandma.
Poor grandma. But sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it makes me want, you know, tequila too or whatever, and it's party time. And like, if you're not a drinker, that's a problem.
Yeah, to each his own. But again, I think it's a consensus that smoking is one of those things that one shouldn't be doing, or if they are, hopefully to do it in super moderation.
But I used to think it was kind of sexy. I mean, I was a smoker. I liked hanging out with the smokers. I thought it was cool. I mean, I think everybody did, you know, like you're a little kid and you look tough, you look bad or whatever with that fucking cigarette, and you get used to that. But now that I've quit for so long, I see people smoking and I'm like, ugh. People still do that? No. Fucking gross. Some little kid, you know, they're like a teenager, and I just look at them in horror.
Luckily, people mature, and that's how I feel with shots.
Or they die.
You know, so there's a lot of things that I've been I did when I was younger that now I look at, it's like, oh my God, it's a waste of time and money.
Like what else?
Shots.
Doing shots at the bar?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, I was the shot queen.
Dude, I 5-6 years ago, that was kind of like, oh, the best way to get the party started is to get everybody real buzzed real quick.
Yeah.
But
it's also a great way to get the party to end really quick.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the thing too. But we got to work the next day, or if you're not working the next day, you have laundry or to do stuff. Can't do that all hungover.
Sucks
being old. But hey, to those who can like do 16,000 shots and then go to work the next day, good on you. I grew out of the shot phase now. I sip my drinks. That's what I want. I like.
Did you guys ever try those it's like a party bucket of shots? There's like all these different flavored shaker shots in a bucket. Ooh. Like it's a whole bucket of layered
sugary shots. Ugh.
You know, like a cocksucking cowboy or like a quick fuck or a wet pussy, all those different types of shaker shots. Did I ever have this conversation with you, Lucy, in Australia they have shaker shots?
No, but I mean, I was a shot girl once upon a time. I would walk around and sell the ones that come in like test tube type shit.
Yep.
Yeah, similar thing, but they're not in test tubes. They're in like little, they're like a partitioned shot glass with a liqueur on one side and another liquor on another side, and you shot it and it mixes in your mouth, and they're all different flavors. Hmm. And it's like a big thing. Anyway, I remember getting some bad news that my ex had just gotten engaged. And I was like living with my partner at the time, but I was still sad about it. And we were going out for Halloween, and I decided to drink an entire bucket of shots before we went out. And my friends are just sitting there in horror watching me peel the lids off this like bucket of shots and go, literally just like,
that's the night speeding up.
Literally, like, yeah. They were just like, are you okay? Are you going to be okay to like stand, get into the club? Are you going to be able to get into the club? And I was wearing these like huge, Jeffrey Campbell, Lita spikes. They're covered in these really sharp spikes. And cause I was like, this is when I was like super seen and I was in the punk crew. We're going to see a hardcore band. And I was like, just like a skeleton with these Lita spikes. And I was lit as fuck. And I was like, standing in the gutter outside this club, and they were like, dude, you're okay? Are you gonna vomit? Are you okay? You drink a whole bucket of shots. Are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to party.
You've been so many different people.
I know, right? It's crazy. And this is like me and my muggle life. Like, my muggle life has just changed in so many different ways in so many different eras. This was in the scene era. But I was like totally, completely calm, cool, and collected by the time I got to the security guard. And I was like, thank you. And then I strolled in very delicately in these giant shit kicker boots, right? And strolled all the way to the bathroom, opened like a stall, and then just like painted the entire stall with like multicolored shot vomit. And then And then I like wiped off my mouth and I went back out of the bathroom and I was like, all right, let's party. They
were just like, that sounds about right.
Are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, it's a tactical. You know, I'm good. I'm ready to go. I feel great.
Tactical.
Yeah, purge, splurge. And,
can't do it now. My body's like, I've been sober for 7 months. So I can't.
Congratulations. Well, I can totally see Jonelle doing that, though, like walking in and just ordering a round of shots for whoever's there. I kind of was like that, but I would order a round of shots for myself. So when I was like bartender,
just for me.
No, legitimately, I would walk into a bar and I would order far.
Why can't I talk today?
I would order 5 shots. They would line them up and I would go 1, 2, 3.
I've done that 4. Too.
But that's just how I would start the night. Yeah.
I think when you're a little younger, you have a little bit more energy to spend. You know, a quick ingestion of alcohol either can get you started real good.
It'll give you blood poisoning.
Yeah. But I understand that it's fun. It's just I'm at the point in my life where I want to enjoy the night. I much more enjoy if I remember things the next day. And too many shots or cigarettes or random drugs can make me forget a lot of stuff. So
that's why I stopped drinking so heavily. There you go. I don't remember a good chunk of those years.
I still drink, but now I drink beers that taste good, not because of the alcohol, but because it tastes good. Kind of like sodas or coffee or a good juice. But that's the lesson for you kids, our listeners right now. Don't do drugs.
Are there children? Are they allowed to listen to this program?
If you're going to do drugs, do them for free and don't do ones that are made in a kitchen.
Okay.
So at least that's this week's...
I'm just joking.
That's this week's version of our dick disqualifier.
It's smoking, spun out there, though. Smoking.
It's spun out into too much alcohol.
Don't pay for drugs.
There you go. And no drugs. So those are all good lessons. I think everybody can learn... that or everybody should not be doing.
You're so trying to teach people, and I think people want to listen to this to hear about us fucking people and going on random dates. So let's get to that.
Let's get to
the first date. I want to hear about your best first date, your worst first date, what you expect on a first date. So I'm going to start. Because we're talking Bumble dates here.
Bumble dates.
We're talking about complete fucking strangers. I think it's a psycho screening. I think it's one drink, especially if it's bad, you don't even necessarily finish the date, but I only promise one drink. And then if I like them, it's the little taste, then let's set something up, let's go on a second date and have dinner then. But first date, one drink, psycho screening, and make sure they're not a catfish.
So awesome. So I want to noodle on that a little bit more because like we handle first dates way differently. Your first date. Psycho screening. So we're talking about your best psycho screening, correct?
What do you mean my best psycho screening?
We're talking about the best first date or worst first date. So what was your best psycho screening, that first psycho screening?
I'm not
screening
good at
date?
Psycho screening.
I keep thinking she's going to the movies, guys. I'm getting real confused. But I know you mean like vetting a person.
Correct.
But I thought you meant like screening the movie psycho and watching together and having one drink. And I'm like, that sounds like a great time.
Okay, Christian
Bale.
I just saw
Psycho last year for the first time, actually.
Huh.
Anyway. I'll cover it.
So let's get into it. Your best first date then. Are we talking about the psycho screening or the actual date?
I guess I'm just talking
about
the expectation.
Okay, cool.
So my expectation is that they will actually make a plan for the date. Mm-hmm. So I want to once I do wait to be asked out because I want to set up the correct power dynamic that's going to make me happy in the long run. Even though I have a very strong personality, I need someone that's going to balance that. So I wait until I'm asked out, like, let's get together for a drink or coffee, whatever. And I say, great. And then, like, we look at schedules. We pick a day and a time. And then I want to know the place we're meeting the day before. And if I haven't heard from them the day before with the place, I will follow up and I'll say, you know, so are we still on for tomorrow night at 7? Where am I meeting you? And if they don't get back to me till the day of, I'm probably going to cancel because I'm a planner. I need to know. And I want to know, I'm probably coming from work. I want to know what I'm bringing to wear or whatever, if it's worth changing for, or maybe I just wear something to work that I can also wear on my date.
And I hate to interrupt, but that's a good lesson for everybody on both sides of the date. Boy, girl, boy, boy, girl, girl.
You're so trying to teach. Get off the teaching tip. They'll get it. They're smart enough to understand.
No, because sometimes people forget that, hey, guys plan too. I have a busy schedule. If, you know, it's a delicate line to be, if you, we're talking about Bumble dates
here. It's just like respect, though, for that's another human being. Anybody, we want to get together as friends, the three of us, we have to plan. We have to agree on a day and a time and a place.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. And we have to, okay, the thing about the place, too, is it has to be convenient for both people.
Exactly.
So I know sometimes you like to go out in your neighborhood, Janelle. I object to that. I think it needs to be halfway between wherever the woman's coming, well, between wherever both parties are coming from. So
I want it convenient for both, but I also don't want to, you know, I'm speaking for this, the one or two good guys out there. It's tough because sometimes we don't get notices too. Like, we're complaining about the same things. Like, I know, like, you're a planner. If somebody doesn't reply to my texts up until the day that we're meeting, that sends off a wrong vibe as well for me. But I also understand that as the guy asking for the date, you can't just keep on asking. That'll look creepy. So that's it's a delicate balance too. So so for people out there, hey, just the good plan is great. The good plan is a well-planned first encounter is essential for a good start of a relationship.
Well, or even just a good date or a good couple of dates. I don't have an expectation going into a first date that it's going to lead to anything other than that one date. I usually let them know it's going to be about an hour. It's going to be that one drink.
Wow.
Because I want to set a very
boundaries
and a reasonable expectation so that they're not surprised when I get up and leave. Because chances are, statistically speaking, we're not going to be a match.
Okay.
If it's good, I'll have a second drink if I want to, or I won't. And I'll set up that other one. Let's say I have something else to do, depending on my schedule, too. But then the other thing I wanted to say is wherever we meet, let's say we're meeting at a bar, I would hope that they have arrived and chosen a place, whether that's a table or a bar. I think the bar is better. I think it's more social and more casual on a first date.
Interesting.
Than to get a table on the side that can be really intimate, and maybe I don't want that right away.
Okay.
And also just like the physical setup of it can sometimes be telling of the person. I have orange hair and kind of stand out. I'm usually dressed, so usually I'll text them or I'll message them and say, you know, orange hair, green dress, so they can find me. Because again, I'm big on the power dynamic thing. And then if I do happen to arrive before the person I'm going on a date with, I drink water because I want to see them arrive and I want to see how the drink ordering goes. And I also want them to pay for the drink. I don't even offer to pay for the drink anymore, especially on a first date.
And here's a note to everybody out there. This is not like people who don't buy the person they're going out with drinks. That's not equal rights, right? That's just like uncouth.
So technically, because I've waited to be asked out, they have invited me for a drink.
Exactly.
And if I'm invited, or drinks, or dinner, if I am invited, the Miss Manners would say that the person who invites other people pays.
Correct. And yeah, I want to double down on that. And hey, I want to noodle on more of those topics. Because like we have a lot of differing opinions with regards to where you
bring
sit.
It up.
How you sit power down.
Dynamic,
no, but I want to pass it on to Allegra. How about you? How do you settle your first date? Before we talk about the best first and the best first date and the worst first date, this is a good setup.
Expectations.
Let's do this. How do you guys set up your first date, Allegra?
Well, that's literally what I was about to say is I like to fuck on the first date, but it's you may laugh, but I'm serious. It really depends on how I'm vibing with the person and if I feel a spark within the first 15, 20 minutes or not in terms of how what their body language is like. I mean, I want to be driven to want to fuck them on the first date. It does not mean that I'm going to because I want to make sure I think I'm trying to gauge on a scale of 1 to 10 if they're clean or not on like a health level. But there have been instances where I've had first dates where I'm trying to gauge how it's going and how our personalities are meshing or if they're a little too awkward or if they're like fetishizing weird things about me. They're not about me as a person, but are about my performance life. Like that Moulin Rouge obsessed girl who was talking about a coke habit or whatever. And
because you tell them, you lead with that.
What do you mean?
You lead with burlesque and drag and all of that and you tell them that.
I like to get it out of the way because I feel like it's important for my vetting process because they need to understand A, that I'm a performer so that my time is limited, and B, that I'm a person behind the persona and that they are separate. So in terms of like, so I like to be able to vibe it out and see In terms of, well, I mean, when I was drinking, I still didn't want to drink alcohol necessarily on the first date because I want to try and get a sober snapshot of what the person is like. I would try to organize for like a coffee or like a snack or like a sit down in a park or whatever, something outdoors or something in a casual spot. So usually, ideally, like afternoon, evening. If it was at night, it might be like one drink or like tacos or something.
So do you want to arrange that first date or do you let them arrange the first date?
I am anally retentive and I'm a planner as well. So I like to do as much of the organizing as possible, but I really, really need to know a convincing schedule, like yes or no for certain dates. Like I have to get that first and then I'm like, cool, sweet. And then, you know, I might ask a couple probing questions like, do you have any allergies or are you afraid of light? And then I would like,
are you a vampire?
Then I would organize it. And then, yeah, no, I mean, like, do you want to be outdoors or not? And so, you know, I'm really casual about organizing dates. There was one time where a guy from Tinder agreed to, because of my schedule being so hectic, I was taking my dogs to the dog park. And I was like, well, you can meet me at the dog park and come hang out with me and my dogs. And he did. And it was a really great first date. He literally would just walked around the park and watched the dogs, like, you know, sniff other dogs' butts. And we were mostly just like, you know, talking, getting to know each other in this like weird, smelly environment.
While picking up shit.
Yes, I did pick up shit in front of him. And he was charmed, I'm
sure.
Did
you have hand sanitizer?
That's true love.
Gosh.
Is that when you asked for consent to kiss?
Yeah. May I pick up shit full of steaming shit?
Maybe. We didn't actually kiss on that first date. I remember that he was a little, like, he was super, super nice, but we hugged instead. But I was like, yes, I'm going to fuck him at a later date when I don't have a bag of shit in my hand. So, like, definitely a good vetting process. But, yeah, I'm very casual. I mean, but the thing is that as much as I'm a planner and an organizer, I'm really, really anally retentive. I really like organizing stuff spontaneously if it's the right kind of person. The way that they approach it is really paramount. Like the way that the person approaches me for a spontaneous date, if it's too casual, then it's spontaneous. And I'm like, this is not going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
If it's spontaneous and it's confident, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like an adventure. I'm down. Do it.
Sure. I love a good adventure.
Yeah.
And Janelle, you're a planner, right?
I am a planner. And it's interesting hearing both your, first date arrangements because, for me, I'm not a big fan of just coffee or drink on the first date. I'm of the idea that if a person would want to meet me in person, they would want to invest at least an hour and a half or two. And since I mentioned in previous pods too that
ego,
it's not ego. It's just I'm busy. Like I can do a lot of other things that I know I'm going to enjoy, and sometimes.
So I think for that we need to go back a bit. Mm-hmm. So you think that if they want to meet you, there's that. So how much conversation happens before
exactly.
that? Then
yeah. So that's my thing too. A lot of the conversation on we're talking specifically about online dating apps like Bumble and Tinder right now. I'm not the kind of guy that the girl would immediately want to hang out with. There's going to be a lot of back and forth.
So like, self-deprecating.
You know, it's just a fact. I mean, that's totally fine. But I prefer that. I prefer.
Do we have a violin sound we can play when you talk?
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna put that in post. No, but I actually also would want to talk to a person a little bit more. Like, hey, how are you? How's your day? And what do you do? And yada yada yada. So, 140 characters on a Tinder or Bumble profile is definitely not enough to describe. But you know, once you get into that group, like, oh yeah, you're cool. I'm cool. You want to meet up for a drink and a bite. So I first dates for me is always something with some sort of food.
I mean, it's smart because, you know, women like to get fed.
Yeah.
Especially since you're paying for it's kind of, you know, I don't know if it's smart for your bank account, but it's not a bad method.
And this might like bury me in the future, but I will always insist on paying, especially on dates that I arrange. That's just how I'm raised.
No one's mad at that.
Yeah, but also it's good that if you know, I don't say that on the day, like, hey, let's go out and I'm paying for everything. No, it's like, let's just hang out. I have a few spots that I'm very, very interested in going into. So I want the experience to be joyful for me. So that's how I'm a big planner, and I like food, and I like drinking, and here, like people's
ego.
Company.
Ego.
No, it's because you'll never know. I mean, like for you, you have your screening, and that's totally cool.
But yeah. I actually kind of, I mean, I screen at the pictures. I look at the pictures and I see, you know, dog, beard, smoker, that kind of stuff, some crazy tattoos. But generally, if we match past that screening, I might ask one or two questions. If there's any back and forth that's interesting, if he asks, I'll go. Because that's when I really do the screening is in person. Yeah. So to me, I don't put that much into the first day. I have very low expectations. I just want to like get in, get out, decide if it's worth investing any time in. And it is a pain to see someone, but you can do all that back and forth on any of the dating websites or apps. Yeah. And then you meet the person, there's no chemistry.
I agree. I mean, it's a crapshoot anyway, but I like the fact that, you know, three differing preferences on first dates. You just want a quick drink. Lucy just wants a quick drink. I would want a good meal.
He can pay for my meal as he leaves.
Yeah. Buy you some appetizers. And I like that Allegra.
That's
more
actually,
like
that would be the perfect first date. Yeah. We have a drink. I see if I like him. He leaves and I have dinner by myself on his check.
Okay. So for those who will match with Allegra in the future, that might be the way to go. And I like how Allegra wants to do an activity and be both spontaneous and planned. So now that
the thing is, as much as it sounds like it's just like a quick drink, I've had lots of first dates which have gone for like 5 or 6 hours. And then I've gotten that I'm going home with. No, before the sex. Like, it's just escalated into sex at the end.
Ooh. Okay. So while on
so
that.
You have to really block out a lot of time then for that first date.
I never leave. I never put a time limit on it because I want to see what happens.
Same.
But see, I put a time limit on it as an out. But if it's good, I'll stay for more drinks. I'll stay for a longer period of time. I can cancel when I've had after plans. I have done that. Or if I am really excited, but I do actually have something else that like I have to go do, then it leaves me wanting more. And, you know, I'm all about the tease. So I like that. Okay. That works for me, too.
Oh, well, while on that topic, let's jump into it. Best and worst Bumble or Tinder dates.
Like, what?
It's fine. You know what? Yeah. This
best and worst. I had a couple of good dates. I was on Bumble. I didn't do Tinder. Uh-huh. I guess I had one. I didn't want it to end. You know, we're supposed to go for one drink. I think we had three. Then I made sure we walked past this other place we had talked about going to, even though I knew it'd be a little noisy. I made sure that he sort of pulled me in there because I pointed it out. We had some drinks. We started making out at the bar and holding hands, and everything was great. And, you know, we said, like, we didn't want the night to end, but I had to work. So it did. It ended. Oh. No sex. Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
But it was a great date.
It's a good best date.
I was shit-faced. I was so hungover the next day. I was like a puddle.
It sucks to be old. Allegra, your best...
Did you just call me old?
Oh, we are so old.
Ugh, don't lump me in with you.
Okay, Allegra, best or worst Bumble or Tinder date?
My worst Tinder date. I was invited after a gig to go hang out in this guy's apartment on his fucking thin mattress on the floor and watch this TV show called Scared Shitless or something, Scared Straight, about teenagers that they put in a correctional facility to stop them being problem teenagers.
Discovery Channel's dope.
And then we had amazing sex, which was surprising. And his cat was watching and it was weird.
Like, oh, this weird conversion therapy is so hot. Great foreplay. I'm queer, by the way.
Don't ask. And then the next morning we went to brunch because I used to have a system called Bangin' Brunch.
Oh my God. I know where the story is going. I'm so excited. Continue.
And we went to a coffee shop that I used to go to with my friends when I was really hungover. And it was called Rick's Cafe. And we would always get this breakfast deal, which was like a great, like, greasy breakfast and a coffee for like $5. And it was like, you know, dirty, cheap valley food, and I never had any problem with it. And when we went there, I got like a nice latte, and it was severely under extracted. And I mentioned that out loud.
Under extracted.
And at the time, he blurts out, like, what did you just say? Like, what do you mean? And I was like, it's it doesn't matter. Like, it just tastes like a sour asshole. I don't know. Like, it's just it doesn't matter. It's just like, I know how to fix it and I know what the problem is, but I don't want to go tell them. And it was just me having like an excessive word vomit about being, because I'm a barista. So I was like talking about the coffee beans and science and stuff. And he was just on another planet by this point and just like, don't ever call. It's cool kind of thing. And it was like the worst brunch I'd ever had.
Because of that sour asshole espresso.
Under-extracted is the word.
Under-extracted.
I'm going to use that tomorrow. Please make my latte. Just make sure that it's not under-extracted.
My vagina's under-extracted.
Hey.
My
vagina's
under-extracted. So, Jonelle, best or worst? What are you telling us?
So, I'm going to go with worst. And because it's two, they're kind of like mirror images of each other. Last summer, I went out with two fine ladies. They're very, very cute. I was surprised.
Two at the same time?
No, two in the span of a month, Bumble stuff. And the same thing happened back to back. It's met these girls online. OkCupid this time. Great profiles. At that time, I didn't plan a dinner. It was going to be a drink at a bar near their place, Bushwick, which is far from us here. Went out on a drink. Had great conversation, had dinner, had a great dinner, walked them to their apartments, had a great makeout session. And then right before I leave, right before I go home, very happy, looking forward to the next date, they said the same variation of this message. Oh, you were shorter than I expected. So, and then that was kind of like their wink wink that there will be no second date.
That's so, so shady.
Hey, during that time, I was very, very salty about it. I was very, very angry. But, you know, months later, looking back, it's nicer that they kind of stopped it at that point. Like,
sure.
After the first date, I would have rather known that they were not interested.
Would
after
you
the
have
first
rather
date.
Have had sex with them?
Of course. I am a guy.
And then find out. Okay.
Yeah, it would have been nicer that that was my severance package.
Sure.
Instead of just the makeout session. But again, I'm not, you know, I was complaining back then. I'm no longer complaining. I was happy that I was told about the lack of interest during that time rather than having to go out with a person for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, and then they tell us like, okay, not sure. Really interested. So I appreciate the honesty.
I didn't know we were, I guess I could have told my bad date stories. Hey. So I have a lot, as you've seen, as you know.
Pick one.
Can I pick two?
Sure.
Because I have the catfish and I have the beach guy.
Okay, so, yeah, perfect. Yes.
So the catfish met me at the bar. He was late. He was... he walked in and he was nothing like his pictures, which is why I say he was a catfish. I'm not sure if the pictures were of him. They weren't great pictures. One, he was, in a parachute, you know, so there were straps and a helmet and all sorts of things in a ball, human ball. And the other one was scuba diving. So I don't think either of those human beings were him. And the other one was like walking across the street, but he was blurry, but he was 100 pounds heavier at least than all of those people. And I'm not a sizist, but I just think that's misrepresenting yourself. And I'm so big on honesty that that caught me off guard right away. And so I decided, since he was so dishonest, that he was then going to be my prey. And we were the only two people in the bar. So I was just going to fuck with him, basically. You don't remember this, Jonelle?
I
this
kind of
even
do.
Been like the I first time yeah, you I think met
was,
me.
Yeah, this was the first story that I've heard. But
yeah.
The word prey is now piquing my interest
prey.
Even more.
In a shitty bar in our neighborhood.
Yes. So the bar was empty and the bartender stood close enough to hear me. But this guy starts talking about visiting his friend in Rikers. And he asked me if I'd ever been to Rikers. I said no. And he proceeded to tell me that he was scared because everyone was black. And he said, how could that be? And I said, well, because the system is racist, you know, the Clintons put in the minimum sentencing. And so that sent a lot of black people to jail for, you know, no reason. Plus they get pulled over more and et cetera, et cetera. And so I kept sort of reiterating, it's a racist system. And he said, well, I feared for my safety. And I said, well, that's because you're racist too. So basically I did that for a while. His friend that he went to visit, I asked, you know, what happened? And she hit someone on 34th Street. And I said, well, did she fall asleep? Was she fucked up on something? And he was adamant that she was sober. And then he added that they did find a crack pipe in her trunk. So I laughed so hard into my hands, like I just buried my face in my hands. And I laughed so hard that like some weird sort of suction thing happened afterwards. It was a full on cackle mode. And he also was a sex therapist, so I had to go into that and ask him about that. And then we argued a little bit because he said all women are bisexual and that they've tested it based on something inside their vaginal canals. And I was like, vaginal canals is just a phrase that should never be uttered on a first date ever.
I agree.
And he had ordered him, I had my water, like I said I do on a first date when he arrived. He ordered himself a drink. He didn't ask me if I wanted anything. And then when he went to clink, he realized that I was drinking water and it still took him a minute and it was just so awkward. And then he ordered himself a second drink after the vaginal canals thing. And then he was like, oh, do you want another one? I'm like, nope, I'm good. Thanks for the drink. I picked up my bag and went to meet you guys. So that was one really awful date just this last year.
Yeah, I finally found our sad trauma.
There you go. And then the other really terrible one was this was my first one. So I was getting back on the dick. And I matched with this guy and he wanted to go to the beach. And if you've ever seen me, I am not a beach person. I try to avoid the sun a lot. I have a parasol. I had a parasol on the date. I met him in there's actually a pavilion at Coney Island. If you didn't know, mm-hmm. I had said I wouldn't go out to the Far Rockaways because it was too far for a first date to go. And I was in the pavilion with two layers of 100 SPF sunscreen on and a dress.
Same as mine.
Yeah. And he was just so insistent about going out there that I actually got into his fucking car and went out to the Far Rockaways with a fucking stranger, which was stupid. And it was like 90 degrees. It was so hot. It was last summer. I wanted to die. I had my parasol. He took his shirt off. I didn't want to see his gross body. I wasn't going to take my clothes off. I thought it was an inappropriate date. And he showed up with beard straggle. And I don't mean like he had a few days shadow or whatever. It was, I can't even describe, it was like this patchy, thatchy, disgusting ginger mess on both sides of his face. He used a racial slur in the car on the way there. And then I was trapped because I'd agreed to go to this crazy place. And the date just went on and on for hours. And I was meeting his friends and going to all these different, and I just wanted to go the fuck home. And he did try to go the 90 at one point, and I made a swift, like, move to the left, get the fuck out of it. And then at the end of the date, I said, okay, show me that thing you said you wanted to show me. And then I'd like you to take me back to the train. And as we're walking away from this like 9/11 memorial thing to the car, which of course, that's romantic, a memorial, right? On first date, we're walking back to the car and he's like, so, I'm sorry, but I kind of got to take a leak. And I was like, okay, do you mean like you want to stop someplace or do you mean you want to like piss between those two cars? And he was like, yeah.
Sexy.
He got out of the car and he took a piss like next to the car that I was in then on the date and then hopped back in the car. And I was like, this is really this is what dating in New York City is going to be like. This is what I'm doing. And that's kind of really what started the dick mission, because it was so fucking horrible. I couldn't believe that this was my life. He got in the car. He drove me back to Coney Island. He didn't even drive me home, which was he would have. But I was like, no, I'm good. Just drop me at the train. And then because I didn't want to hug or kiss him and he got that vibe, he shook my hand with his fucking piss hand. Yeah, you guys know. Like, that's a horror show for me. And then I had to find a bathroom to wash my hands before getting on the train.
In Coney Island.
Yep. So that was my worst date. So that is our Zode for today. On that note, thank you for listening. We can catch Allegra Spread on Instagram. One word, right?
Allegra Drag.
Allegra Drag. I'm sorry. Please excuse me. Janelle, what is your handle?
Eljong, EL_JONG.
Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. You can also download our episodes at paradeofdicks.podbean.com. And if you want to be heard on our show or ask us some questions, you can either email us at paradeofdicks@gmail.com or you can leave a voicemail at 347-927-2401. And you can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Lucy Buttons or Facebook, The Lucy Buttons. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.